It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Acts. We're in the second chapter, and we're going to begin reading with verse 22. Acts 2, 22. That's where we're going to start, and so I'd hope that you can look up, open your Bibles, and prepare for the study with us so that you can read with us, because we do look at a lot of cross-reference as well. But while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. I'd like to visit our website. It's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to send us an email, it'd be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. That would be just fine. So we'd love to hear from you. Hopefully check out the site, because we do have many studies there for you to enjoy, some of the Sunday messages and all of the radio broadcasts as well. is recorded there, and so you can sure enjoy them if you don't get the opportunity to listen. Glad that was enough, hopefully that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him of, I foreknew the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now let's end the reading there in verse 28 and begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you that we can come together and enjoy this time. I just praise your name, and Father, please, that you can use these words that we're proclaiming today to your honor and glory. You'll help each one of us to come to know you as our Savior, because once we have committed our life to you, we are saved, we're born again, we are sealed, and Father, never to be separated from you. Thank you, Father, for that great gift of salvation. Now, please, that you will help us to grow each day, walk each day, serve you each day. So, Father, please, now guide and lead us through this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these words here, and we have come down to verse 23, and it says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now, we have spent quite a bit of time, and if you've missed it, I apologize. And again, you could go back to the website, parkviewbiblechurch.org, and pick up some past studies if you have missed them. But as we look at this, you can find out that it was the foreknowledge of God. God has set this into place before the foundations of the world. It's hard for us to put into perspective and hard for us to imagine how that God could know all these things, know that when he created man, that man was going to stand against him and be separated from him, and that then he would have to send his son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross, you know, from the time he created man, you know, 4,000 years later. And so it's hard for us to imagine all these things that God foreknew, but he did. He foreknew everything. And so even though it was the determinant counsel and foreknowledge of God, as the scripture tells us, Peter still declares him, ye have taken. In other words, you are guilty. And so it says here in verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. It's very clear here that even though this is God's plan, the wicked heart of the Jews are the tools, you could say, the ones that are carrying forth with this. And so, again, the scripture says, him ye have taken. The Jews didn't nail Jesus to the cross, but they demanded it. The Jews did not have the authority to kill, at least wise to crucify. And it's some even believe that at this time the Roman government didn't allow them to even stone someone to death, although it's not long that they do stone Stephen. And so we're not sure about that, but we do know that they cannot crucify, and they wanted him crucified. They wanted the worst possible death, the most painful, agonizing death that could come, which is crucifixion. That's what they wanted for the Son of God. And this is the religious people here. This is who we're talking about here. And it was, you know, we had the high priest and we had the scribes and the Pharisees, the people that were supposed to know the Word of God and teach the Word of God. And we're very guilty of that today because we have so many that stand in the pulpit that deny the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not understand the power and the presence of the blood of Christ. They do not study the tabernacle. They do not look at back there when Moses brought the law down. He also brought the plans to the tabernacle. It's so important that we understand that and we look to that and study that so we can really understand everything that's going on. But we find here, even though that it was the council of the Jews that are demanding this, you know, Jesus, the Jews did not have, again, the authority to crucify him, but they planned it and they demanded it. Peter here charged them directly with this crime. The Jews, with their wicked hands, have crucified the Lord Jesus. Verse 24, and so let's just, because we've kind of spent quite a bit of time with 23 here, and so 23 says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Oh, what powerful words. Peter here gives the main point of his message. Everyone in Jerusalem and Judea and the surrounding area all knew, many of them even witnessed, the horrible death of the Lord Jesus. They watched him die. They witnessed that. But Peter here declares that God raised him up from the dead. This resurrection gives divine proof that Jesus is the Messiah, God in the flesh. That prophet that the Old Testament had so long promised. God the Eternal Father loosed the pains of death and brought Jesus back from the grave. Oh, what wonderful words here. This is what Peter is preaching to these people, to these Jews. He's not letting them off the hook. He wants them to repent. You see, we need to understand. That's the reason God gave us the law. Not that we should try to keep it, because we can't. The only thing the law does is condemn us. The law really literally kills us. We're condemned already according to the Word of God. So we need, you see, We need to take care of this. And the only way we can take care of it is to have a Savior. The Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. So please that you would come, accept that you're a sinner. Repent. Turn to Him. Say, Jesus, please save me. Because I can't keep the law. I can't keep it. Save me, please. That's the precious word, and that's what Peter is explaining to them, and that's the reason that he's carrying this out so clearly in the end of verse 23, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You have done that. Now the one that you have slain, God hath raised up. Verse 24. God hath raised up. Peter again declares that God raised him up from the dead. Loosed the pains of death. Brought Jesus back from the grave. I repeat that again. The word loosed here means to set free. To set free. The word pains, loosed the pains of death. Pains is an extreme word of suffering. Excruciating pain. Pain that's almost unbearable. The death of Jesus was that kind of pain. So when we look at that and you see the words here that God gives us, whom God hath raised up, having loosed, having set free the pains. And again, a level of pain that is so close to being unbearable. Two reasons. The physical. He was man, 100% man, and 100% God. The first is the physical death, but the worst was the sin. Because you see, the Son of God was perfect. He had never experienced sin. And God the Father separated himself from his Son and laid all the sin of all the world upon him. And he died carrying that burden, that sin, that sin. Loose the pains of death. The Greek and the Hebrew pictures here, they picture a man tightly bound with cords. It gives us a picture, even though Jesus was hung on the cross, but with such great force they bound the bodies with these cords, wrapped them from head to foot, impossible to escape. And that's the picture that we have here, is the Lord Jesus went to the cross because it was impossible for him to escape that. Oh, yes, he could have stepped down off that cross, but not to carry out the will of his Father. And he did carry out the will of his Father. And so this binding so tight with the cords and being so completely wrapped, it does give us the picture of the great suffering of the Lord Jesus. With Jesus and the sin debt, proved it impossible to escape this horrible death. That's why Jesus came. That was the reason that Jesus has come. To seek and to save those that are lost. And he had to die on the cross to do that. But as the scripture tells us, so wonderfully tells us, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. He could not avoid the death, but death could not keep him. Again, that was the purpose of his coming. All this pain, all this suffering took place before he said, "It is finished." Because he did not suffer after the death. The grave could not hold him. God loosed the bonds which held him. Because, as the scripture tells us, it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Beautiful verses of scripture. Got some cross references here that I want to go to. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. What is the scripture tells us? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's go to verse 14. Forasmuch then, still in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Forasmuch then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is to say, the devil. Now we're going to read that precious scripture again. Forasmuch then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, he took on the body. Born of the Virgin Mary, fathered by the Holy Spirit, so he had no sin, but he did have a physical body, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and delivered them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That is involving you and me, my dear friend. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Now he controls it. Let's go back to Acts. Once again, I'm going to read verse 24 and then we'll go on into verse 25. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Let's go back to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 8. Psalm 16, verse 8. Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. David speaks back here and he says, I foreknew the Lord always. Literally, it means I expected. I waited for the Lord. He knew he was coming. It was just as if he had was already there. He knew what he was going to do and how he was going to do it. The scripture says, "The Lord, I foresaw the Lord always before my face." That is, the Lord is always present to help. David knew the Lord before he had taken on the body that we know, the Lord Jesus, as he went to the cross. He knew him. He knew what he was coming to do. David knew the Lord and trusted him with his whole heart. He believed in God as being able to supply his every need. That's what we find back here in Psalms. Now, we can enjoy that. Let's go to Psalms 23, and that's probably one that you're very familiar with. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a beautiful verse of scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is everything to me. I will desire nothing that he has not given me, because he will supply every need that I have. And once again, verse 25, back in Acts 2:25, for David speaketh concerning him, I foreknew the Lord always before my face, for he is my right hand, that I should not be moved. Right hand is a place of power, place of dignity, a place of honor. And it says that I shall not be moved. So David declares that the Lord holds the highest position in David's life. That's what he says. He holds the highest position in David's life. The Lord should occupy the highest position in our life. Above all, he should be the one that we fellowship with. He should be the one that we call upon. That's what that scripture is telling us. And David says, for he is my right hand, my power, my authority, and that I should not be moved. I am not going to move. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Now we're going to go ahead and read verse 27 as well, because it kind of goes together. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Got many verses of scripture here. My heart rejoices. Literally, my heart rejoices. My tongue was glad, and the tongue was reporting what the heart had to say. And so, beautiful verse of scripture. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians. We're going to go to Ephesians in a second. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of the things in heaven, the things in earth, and the things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. That's what he should hold in our life. Ephesians 1, verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Let's go to Romans. Chapter 8. Verse 18. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's what Peter is telling these Jews on the day of Pentecost. He first explains to them, goes through Joel, goes through the works that was proven that this is the Son of God, risen from the dead, goes back to David, which the Jews fully understood and knew all about David. And so for Peter to speak of that, for David speaketh concerning him, and I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Let's see if we can find Ezekiel. Ezekiel, Daniel. So if you go to Daniel, you went just a little bit too far. Ezekiel 36:26. Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and you will take away that stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. What a promise was given from God to Ezekiel for the believer, the one that come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to have a new heart. You must have a new heart. And the only way you can have a new heart is to be born again. So please, my dear friend, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I don't know if we got time to get to one more here, but let's go back to 2 Peter, see if we can catch it in time. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's what happens when you trust in Jesus and you are born again. It's so important, my dear friend, that you trust in Jesus, So please call upon him today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?